Good evening and welcome. I'd like to call to order the January 24th, 2007 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Bocow?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
Okay, thank you. Would you please join me in the flag salute? Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the board's jurisdiction. This would be for items that are not on the scheduled agenda because all of the scheduled agenda items will have a separate opportunity for public comment. So if anyone would like to make a general comment to the board at this time. Barbara?
Good evening, President Hill, Board of Directors. I'm Barbara Carey from the Oceano Community Center. And I'm going to talk briefly about the Oceano Library. 14 years ago, when Brian Reynolds became director of SLO City and County Libraries, he immediately recognized that Oceano was one of several communities that, and then the Oceano Library Project Committee formed with Ernie Gomez as chair. This committee was a three-way partnership between Lucemar, the county, and Altrusa. Of the 13 members of that committee, only two had no connection with Lucemar School District. Al Boffman, who was then on the school board, was the only Oceano resident who was on that committee. And I should mention that committee worked very hard. Almost all the money for the library was raised privately. Over $75,000 in major donors came from Bob Tacken, Casey O'Connor, and Danny and Scott Pace. Of local donors, there were only five. And as usual, these names will sound familiar to you. They were the Oceano Kiwanis, Oceano Improvement Association, Glenda Guyton, Guyton Realty, Al Boffman, and Larry and Linda Austin. With respect to buildings, it's Lucemar's policy never to write a lease longer than 5 years. However, in the current lease, there is an option to renew if necessary. The county was very happy with a 5-year lease agreement because they didn't want to be locked into a long-term lease either, because they continue to look for a permanent site for a library. Al Boffman is meeting with Kachwa on a regular basis to discuss a permanent site for the library. Lucemar middle and high school faculty and staff were major advocates for a library here. They were unable to make homework assignments because Oceano kids didn't have access to a library. So Lucemar is really thrilled with our present library. They feel it's a win both for the school district and for the community as a whole. And one of the really neat programs that the library has is Raise a Reader. And it's for kids who are from 0 to 5. Once the family signs up, they can pick up a book bag and our backpack. And it has books in it. They take them home and read them and bring them back in 3 weeks and exchange it for another set of age-appropriate books. And so basically what we're all trying to do is make Oceano a better place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment at this time? Mark?
Good evening, President Hill, members of the board. My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident. Recently I attended our first finance meeting. I was well pleased with exchange of ideas, very respectful. I'm also especially pleased that now it looks like there's going to be, district of course has a weed abatement program. I would like to propose a graffiti abatement program. As far as jurisdiction, whether that be a LAFCO issue, that would be something I'd like to propose to pursue that. I've had discussions recently with other personnel within public works and other areas in our area, and I found out that there are some cities that are very proactive in graffiti abatement. They have extensive programs, and I would like for Oceano to consider a following suit. There are still many areas that need attention that I haven't been able to get to all of them, but I think looking at an ordinance that would that citizens know that graffiti damage, it harms the values of our community, it devalues our community, and that with an ordinance in place, I think that would send a strong message that we want a clean community, we want a graffiti-free community. So I would like to propose to respectfully be asked to be put on the agenda. I recently completed a graffiti program where I learned techniques and ways to implement programs that could work for a city or small town. I'd like you to consider putting me on the agenda. I'd like to bring some of that information that I learned, and so that we could really consider bringing more community enhancement, bring it to the second level. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Any other public comment? Hearing none, brings us to item 4, board member items for discussion. Start with Director Dahl.
I have nothing at this time.
Barbara?
Nothing. Pamela?
Nothing. Not at this time.
The only thing I have is I understand that Norm Getty was appointed to the Zone 11A Advisory Committee by the Board of Supervisors, and just wanted to congratulate him on that. Brings us to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes. We have two, December 13th, 2006, and January 10th, 2007. Has everyone been able to look at that?
They'll have to be separate, won't they?
Yes,
Kern wasn't here on one of them.
Yes, they will. That's correct. Was that issue resolved satisfactorily?
Yeah, my issue on there was 100% taken care of for the December 13th, so I would move to approve them after public comment.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the December...
Alex, can the chair make motions and seconds?
I think they can. It's just never been.
Can't do both on the same motion.
Oh.
But the general rules would allow that to,
okay,
to occur.
Okay, thank you.
Unless there's something special in our rules of order, and I don't think there is.
I don't believe there is. My understanding is that Robert's rules of order require if the president makes or seconds a motion, he needs to give the gavel to the vice president.
I think that's technically correct. There's no prohibition on doing it. Most people just move on and do it unless somebody wants to stand on that point.
Our rules of order, I believe, allow it. However, if there's someone else who would rather second it, I would withdraw my second for...
I wanted to make a comment that Lynn Hill's name is spelled wrong. Her first name is spelled wrong.
On which page, I'm sorry?
It's on the number 6, number 13, item 13.
Item number 13?
Yeah. I believe it's spelled wrong. It's L-I-N, right? L-I-N.
L-I-N, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then why don't we table these down and I'll fix it?
Okay. Is that...
Would you like us to check some more of the spelling errors? I could probably find a couple others. I think I saw one or two in there, but
well, I sure hope not, because we have like 3 or 4 people going through them.
Well, usually we tell
staff ahead of time.
So
I didn't see
that
myself.
So that they're not embarrassed by the misspelling, and they can make the correction themselves. So I'll amend my motion to approve the minutes as corrected for January 10th, 2007.
Okay, is there a second?
I would second that.
Okay, any comment from the public on those minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstained.
And carries 4-0 with 1 abstention. Item number 6, reports of financial statement for the period ending December 31st, 2006. Would you like to present us with some highlights?
To the previous president saying
something. Okay, thank you. I'm receive and file. Item 6B, quarterly investment report for the period ended December 31st, 2006.
This is our this is actually our annual investment report. In the next agenda or two, we will be reconfirming our investment policy. And as you can see, the district is in good financial condition. The interest rates are starting to move off of the 1 and 2% marks. They're up to 4.5% to 5%, which obviously is good. And as I said, the district's in good financial position.
Okay, thank you. Are there comments or questions from the board? Any comment or questions from the public on the report? Okay, thank you. Receive and file. Brings us to item 7, closed session, conference with our legal counsel regarding potential litigation. This is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B. Alex?
Yes, and the only thing I would add to what's stated in the agenda is that this is regarding the existing case of Bookout versus State of California, Department of Transportation, County of San Luis Obispo, Oceano Community Services District, and others, which is on file in San Luis Obispo County. We are required to disclose the case.
I would recuse myself from the case.
I will recuse myself, too.
Okay. Given that we have two recusals, then I guess we'll move to closed session. Okay, we'll reconvene the open session, and our counsel will have a report on the closed session.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, in closed session, the board adopted a motion rejecting a claim filed by William Bookout against the district with regard to a flooding incident at 1311 Paso Robles Street here in Oceano. And that motion was adopted on a 3-0 vote of the attending directors. That would be Director Mann, Director Hill, and Director Dahl all voted in favor of the motion.
Any comment or questions from the public? Comment or questions from staff or from the board?
I have a question. What I did not see in the MOU was the language that is that the pursuant to Chapter AA, Section 30, OCSD Policies and Procedures Manual, were to be brought current within 3 months of the January 10th date. That was one of the key issues we really wanted to have done, and I expected it to be in the MOU.
Well, I believe... No, I'll take that back. I know that everyone is aware of that 90-day period. In the MOU, I mean, I guess we could, you know, bring it back if you really want that language in, but there is no way to put every single specific exegatory job that the fire chief's going to do in an MOU. It was a direction given by the entire board. It is displayed upon the minutes of this board. It's very clear, and if it has to be in the MOU, I mean, what you're kind of doing is that you're putting yourself in a position at a later date that if something else comes up, then you're going to have to go back and try to redo the MOU. So I don't think it's a fatal flaw. I don't think it's a flaw at all. I think that it's very well understood where the 90 days goes. Yet this board, on its motion to appoint Mr. Steinhauser as fire chief, indicated that appointment was contingent upon these policies and procedures being brought current.
I seem to remember that we have discussed what goes into or how we have done employment policies, and a lot of times things don't get written down and they kind of are forgotten. it's hard to go back to the minutes or remember to go back to the minutes and pick that up. If someone were looking in the future, they wouldn't know where to go. They wouldn't know where to look in the minutes. I'd also like to see some essential duties in here to participate and train in the county with the emergency preparations for
what you're looking for.
I'd still like to see it in there. That's just my point of view.
The there's a paragraph in here under duties and responsibilities. Essential duties and responsibilities and the work environment are described in the job description. As that job descriptions, are these the same job descriptions that are going to be updated?
No, the policies and procedures will be updated. I'm not sure, you know, without looking at them paragraph by paragraph, how they relate between the two.
Well, would that be what Director Dean is asking? Would that be more suitable within that job description than it is within the memorandum of understanding?
No, actually, I believe that it should be, if we're going to put it in, it should be in the memorandum of understanding because it's a one-time thing to bring the policies current.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, it's nothing that nobody doesn't know about, and we're not talking 6 years down the line. We're talking a few months. We can delay this longer, but I don't think it's going to change the amount of authority or what the directors of the board is able to do or actions the board's able to take with or without it in here. Because it is understood that that's what has happened. But it's, you know, whatever the board wants is fine. But I don't, you know, it's a little bit redundant.
Yeah. With what Burns said, I'll concur with that. I'd like to make a motion to adopt our OCSD Resolution 2007-1. Approving the Memorandum of Understanding between OCSD and Michael G. Steinhauser upon his appointment as Fire Chief, and also noting that this will be corrected in the next 90 days. The
second.
Okay, it's been moved and second.
Could I have just 1 second here?
Please.
I just need to figure out how I'm going to work. So, okay, it's basically it's going to be, this has been approved.
Board on the motion. I would tend to support the motion from the discussion that we had in the fire committee meeting. I think that'll come out later. And I guess I should wait until that time to discuss that more fully. But I would personally support the motion. Lacking any other comment, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, brings us to item 8B. This is the director's acknowledgement of contributions made by the district firefighters as recognized by members of the OCSD Fire Department for the year 2006. Chief Steinhauser, would you like to discuss the item?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for your previous action. It's a tradition of the board of directors to recognize firefighters who, in the opinion of the community's firefighters, have contributed the most to the department during the course of the year for 2006. Annually, the OCSD Board of Directors acknowledge and recognize major award recipients. And would you like to just take all four at the same time?
Yes, I think that's probably okay. Appropriate.
This will be a recognition for Firefighter of the Year as Brian Fukuhara. And then recognition for the Rookie of the Year is Andrew Bagg. and recognition of Emmanuel Vargas Award recipient is Danny Sesek. And then the resolution of congratulations to Paul Collada for his selection as a recipient of the Chief's Dedication Award.
Okay, thank you very much. Comment or questions from the public on this item? Are there comment or questions from the board? Hearing none, I'd look for a motion probably to approve the four resolutions.
Can we do this in one motion?
One motion's fine.
I move that we do resolution 2007.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve OCSD resolutions 2007-02, 2007-03, 2007-04, 2007-05, which are respectively resolutions congratulating Brian Fukuhara for his selection as OCSD Firefighter of the Year, Andrew Begg for his selection as Rookie of the Year for 2006, congratulating Danny Chesek for his selection as the recipient of the Manuel Vargas Award 2006, and congratulating Paul Collada for his selection as the recipient of the Chief's Dedication Award for 2006. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mayer?
Yes.
I'm sorry, who's the second?
Director,
who's the second, yes.
I guess I was just checking to make sure the numbers were right on the ones you guys signed, and they are.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines following the San Simeon earthquake. Is there any comment from the public or staff report, first of all? Any additional staff information?
Well, we're moving on. People probably have received a notification that there is work being done based on the damages caused by the San Simeon earthquake. This was sent out by the Department of Building and Planning, and this dated January 12, 2007. And as you can see, everyone is in agreement that this is still an ongoing issue. The inspections are happening now. Some of the environmental work is being completed, and hopefully we'll get ourselves around into the position of actually being able to replace some sewer lines.
Okay, so that's a good report that we've actually got something moving forward through the process. That's good news. Okay, any questions or comment from the board?
This is 3 years later.
I understand. Okay. Believe me, I understand. We had a, and then they're gone the next day. They're on to the next disaster. And I mean, you can't fix these disasters in a matter of 2 or 3 days. And, dealing with that bureaucracy is quite extensive. And I think we've held in there. And I think that, you know, we have received a considerable amount of money because we have held in there.
Any other board comment or questions?
I'd like to thank staff for the good job they've done with that. I know that you guys have brought in a lot of money to this district over this issue, and that's money that otherwise would have had to have been collected from the public. So good job. Thank you.
You know, it's the earthquake. It was 2003, and, you know, it's 2007. We've kind of forgotten how that shook the Paso Robles community and then shook Oceano. And I know my street, you know, the water line on my street in particular must have had 10 breaks. Every time our crew would fix a break, another break would happen. And thank I'm very fortunate on my street that I have a whole brand new water line all the way down my street. Likewise in other communities, and I'm sure that we still are probably going to find more breaks that are caused from the earthquake. So I would move that we continue this.
We need a motion on this.
Well, first of all, is there any other comment or questions from the public on this item?
Mr. President Hill, is there consideration for any additional CDBG money that would be applied for this year? Now, last year, $368,000, I believe it was, in CDBG money for sagging sewer lines. I'm just curious about, will there be further application for more monies in regards to CDBG money for this project for this year? There hasn't been any application yet for CDBG funds. I'm just wondering if this would be an ongoing project that would be applicable to that. Am I making myself clear?
Yes. My understanding is that we would prefer to receive money from FEMA on this rather than using CDBG funds for this project.
Some of them are be successful is that you create an ongoing relationship with the people who evaluate these grants, and they say no to you enough times, and you go back to them with your hat in your hand, and eventually they feel sorry for you, and they give you something. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes, because these people are charged with ensuring that this money is distributed throughout the entire county on somewhat of an equal basis. And, if you are, particularly, I think that if you see the people who go to the Board of Supervisors with their first request, those are almost always denied. The reason is because there have been people who have been there time and time and time again who have had requests that were legitimate requests, but just not enough money being, in the pot to be given around. So to answer your question, all grants, and I'll use the word all grants, the fire chief is continually seeking money. The utility department is continually seeking money. We are continually looking for money from any source, from any place we can find it, as long as it's legal. Okay? And so, we have not robbed any banks. So, it's an ongoing process. Except Mike, he's
he's got a list of liquor stores.
I understand your response. Now, last year there was no CDBG applications that were sent in from this district that I am aware of. So I'm just wondering, as far as this year, if there's a specific plan to apply for CDBG for this project here. That's all my question was. Okay, thanks.
Do we have a specific plan at this time to apply for?
Yes, we do. We will consider item number 10A. At which time we will hopefully have a goal setting where we can figure out exactly where collectively the board of directors would like to go, and then we will put those efforts into being able to fund that kind of activity.
Okay, any other public comment on the item? Hearing none. Bringing it back to the board then.
I'll make a motion to continue cleaning and inspection of our district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, moved by Vice President Bookout, seconded by Director Mann to continue the disclosure of the emergency declared following the San Simeon earthquake. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Continuing on to item 10A, consideration of Board of Directors and staff team building and goal setting meeting. Mitch, would you like
this,
to?
This was tabled from the last meeting so that all five directors could consider it. We are into a new year. We will shortly be commencing the budget process. One of the items usually take a couple of days where the Board of Directors actually focuses on the district, focuses on where they want to go. One of the things I've said for the last 9 years, what happens is that we have a great idea,
And then 2 weeks later, we get another great idea, and we forget about great idea number one, and we move on to great idea number two, and then another month goes by, and we're on to great idea number three. This hopefully would give us an opportunity, really, to say, okay, these are our priorities, and let's all of us shoulder to shoulder address priority number one. And once we get number one done, whatever it takes to get number one done, we move on to number two, and we do it together. May, you know, your biggest priority, one of the board members' biggest priority, may be number three. But, you know, if you help get number one and two done, then it'll get down to number three. So the recommendation is that we ask the president of the board to appoint one of the members to work with Gina Davis and myself to figure out which one of the or anybody else who's recommended to see who would best fit the Oceana mold, be able to conduct the session. We would last time I suggested we hold it in the temple, and I was correctly told that it was really not the temple, it was the Hiawatha Lodge. I mean, someplace it has to be within the district. Have our goal setting and team building meeting, and bring this back to the board at the next meeting, where whoever the president of the board selects, gets a chance to interview these people and kind of get their approach and their philosophy, and then discuss that approach and philosophy with the other four members of the board, and say, okay, this is where this is the guy I think or the gal I think is the best suited to where we want to go as a board of directors, or at least for the goal setting portion of it and communication setting.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions on the staff report, first of all?
Well, I have questions to have we done a goal setting type of situation before?
Yes, we have.
Okay. And what were our goals, and where did those go?
Well, I think we tried very hard to come up with our communication. It was less than as successful as we'd want it to be. And again, I think one of the reasons for that is that if, you know, as I said, say, Director Dean, the thing you want to have happen most of all turns out to be the third thing we're going to do. But if you pitch in and get number one and two done, then everybody's going to pitch in to get number three done. And so everybody's going to get their turn in this. But we've got to be focused. If, you know, if you've got number three and you're fighting for number three, and then Director Hill's fighting for number one, and Director Bookout's wants number two, and then we're kind of dividing ourselves. If we could kind of focus on them in some kind of an order where everybody gets involved in trying to get these things done, I think we would be so much more successful, and we will have so much more of a team understanding and belief that we're all going someplace.
I think the goals are part of what drives the budget.
And that's what we talked about at the budget meeting, Barbara and I, and members of the public. We were talking about a meeting of the whole with the public invited, and the goals just put up there, many. And I've been involved in these kinds of things where you're planning you're making a strategic plan of things that you'd like to see. And I don't know that necessarily it takes a facilitator. I know there are very easy ways to work it. I think we could do it as a group with the help of the community. And I think we could do it here in the board meeting. And I think we could do it on, say, a Saturday morning, or go over. Now, it doesn't take a two-day meeting, is what I'm saying, to come up with a capital improvement long-term plan. I think you cannot focus, or at least most people need a short-time meeting, and then think it over, get the list out, and I think we could do it ourselves. I don't think we need to spend $5,000 to do this. We have so many needs in this community, and $5,000 is $5,000. I'm thinking that we should be able to do this ourselves. We were sitting at the...
In all the years I've been around, not just here, I've attended both kinds, where it was done in-house and where it was done with a professional. And when it was done with a professional, it was much more successful in business and public service.
Have we used a facilitator in this process before? How many times?
You're shaking your head. I can't think of who it was.
Well, you weren't here.
Oh.
We did it once, but it wasn't just for goal setting. It was more to draw the board together as a whole to discuss issues amongst itself, as well as going on to setting goals afterwards for budget purposes.
Okay. So this was before Mitch, many moons probably before. I'm not 100% in favor of using a facilitator to do this. I'm also not 100% in doing it during the daytime. I welcome the public's, the community of Oceano's input, and I would like myself to see, instead of doing a daytime meeting, do a couple, during a course of a week, a few meetings where we can listen to the public, just listen to the public and what their ideas are, take notes, and then do another meeting that week where we, after having taken a day off to hear what the public would like us to do, take a day off, come back at another meeting during the course of an evening, you know, and plan on staying till, you know, 10 or 11 at night, and really bring in what the public has had said to us.
You know, although it would be nice to see this done without having a facilitator, we have been there, and we've gone through this, and it wasn't as successful as we would hoped it would have been, and it was with much more of a coherent board than we have now. To get the best out of this and to get all five of us pushing for the same goals, you want to make your best shot and do the best we can to make this board effective, not just among itself, but within and among the other agencies within this county. And it's not just them to condition their sale on OCSD getting money from the state. You want to go to the state and ask for money there, you know, for the fee going onto the gate. We deal with a lot of other agencies, and I don't think it's a good idea to shortcut this and to try to do it as quickly or cheaply as we can. But I think that we should work around the schedules with this for the people that do have full-time regular jobs, that if we need to do it in the evenings, we do it in the evenings or so, but we work around their schedule so that they have the most participation in it. But to make it effective as possible, we should do it as professionally as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Vern. My feeling on this item is I agree with the general manager's statement that over the years we've had repeated great ideas. And I think that if all we did was have a facilitated goal setting session, that we would come up with more great ideas. And it appears to me that the failure may be in the follow through rather than the generation of great ideas. And what I would like to see is a periodic follow up on some of the great ideas that we've had. Certainly not every agenda, but perhaps a monthly agenda, we could put on a review or a follow-up of board-approved actions to get a report on what's happening along those lines. In terms of I respect your position, Vern, on the board acting together as a unit, and I think our policy is that when the board approves something, that we all stand behind the board's decision. And I believe that's adequate to get things done when the board has made a decision. I think in some cases we've had in the past certain directors wanting to do one thing, other directors maybe wanting to do others. But when it comes to having something on the budget or something that we view as a priority and want to follow up on,
to bring to a facilitated meeting those ideas and those things that you're talking about. You're right, we do have a commitment that once the board decides on things, makes a decision, that the entire board stands behind it. But that has not been practiced very well in the past. So these are the types of things that are going to be there to, going to come out to try to bring this board closer together, to work as a team to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished for this district. And I think that the best way to get that done is to do this through this facilitator and bring those great ideas that you have with that, with you like that to this goal setting meeting, and then we can, for us to all discuss them and get behind it. So with that, I'd actually like to make a motion that the president of the board appoint an ad hoc committee to interview and make recommendations on the proposed facilitator for consideration of the full board of directors on January 24th, 2007.
We can make a motion and then have public comment. We will have public comment before any vote on this item.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. At this point, is there any public comment on item 10A, which is the Board of Directors and Staff Team Building and Goal Setting?
Hi, Kathy Young, Oceano. I'm opposed to spending the money of the taxpayers and ratepayers' money for a facilitator, especially $5,000. I think it's not only going to be the cost of the facilitator, but if you're 2 days at a meeting, that's, what, you get $50 each for when you go to a meeting, so that's another $500. And I'm sure you're going to have lunch brought in, so that's an additional cost. I don't know if you got to get mileage or not. But as has been pointed out to me before, and I've heard many times these meetings, this is the people's money we're talking about. And I think the president of the board, by virtue of his title, is the facilitator of the meeting and is your facilitator. I think if there was complete bedlam and violence at the meetings and the district business wasn't getting done, then there might be a need for an additional facilitator. I'd like to see more money available to budget for the things that the people do keep requesting of the board. Streetlights, additional weed abatement, alley cleanup, flood control. There's a lot of things that the citizens are requesting that aren't getting done because there's not money in the budget to do them. So I think taking $5,000 of the money that people need to spend on things that they'd like and using a facilitator that I think you guys are all adults and could do yourselves would really be a waste of money. And especially since you're having a facilitator in a workshop with your general manager that's going to be leaving in 5 months, I think that would be kind of also a waste. So if you vote to spend the people's money for this, we need to know that what we are getting is worth every dollar of this expenditure and of a bigger value to us than the other things we have requested. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Now, you mentioned the word follow up. I think I'd like to follow through with the ideas. I can think of ideas that were introduced a couple of years ago. They were good ideas, and it's like pulling teeth to get them done. With the regards to a $5,000 budget, I just can't see that. Now, the last facilitator we had facilitated our candidate forum right here. Good Mayor Roy Grandy did a fine job. I don't know what you're looking for as far as expertise in facilitating goal planning sessions. What is that? Do they have a degree in goal planning sessions? Or are you just looking for somebody that's just got good common sense, that knows how to plan? There's plenty of people that we could probably tap on that probably do a pretty good job and not cost us $5,000. And I think follow through, Jim, you got the great idea of putting it on the agenda. Follow up, follow through with every idea. And it's going to be dependent on the public input. If the public doesn't show up, then the public is going to get what they deserve, and that's not very much. So the public needs to show up. You see me on these cameras, you're watching, show up and be a part of this community. Thanks.
Thank you. Other public comment on this item? Hearing none. Any further discussion on the motion?
Yeah. Remember the last time that we had a goal setting, and I believe you were the leader of it. And I know you tried very, very hard, but we spent a whole day here, and we heard of all sorts of things from the public of things that we are not in our jurisdiction, and it was really hard to say, that's something we can't do. People didn't listen. Do you really think that was a successful goal-setting session we had? Because I didn't think so, and yet I supported what the board said we would try to do.
Unmet expectations, perhaps.
I think it did. And I think when we were talking about this, we didn't necessarily say we were going to spend $5,150. There might be somebody other than these people here. As someone in the public mentioned, that Tony Ferrara did a great job facilitating the candidates. Maybe somebody like Tony. You know, I mean, but there are people out there, but I think it needs to be somebody other than one of the five of us sitting here being the facilitator.
For my part, I respect Mrs. Young's comment that the idea of a proposal for $5,000 does turn me off. And in my experience, I think our failure to follow through, and that I think that's the idea that Mitch hit on first off, is it's not the lack of great ideas, it's a lack of follow through, and I think that we would be better served by keeping track of items on a monthly basis and having some sort of an accounting system that would do that rather than the necessity for a professional facilitated to come up with more goals.
Just nowhere in the motion did I hear $5,150. You know.
Yeah, it's just to look into it.
Any other discussion?
I've been coming to these meetings for 6 years, and yes, we have had many great ideas, and they kind of fall through the cracks, and you never know what happens to them. And it kind of just disappears. What we were talking about in the Finance Committee meeting was to put it into some of our ideas into a capital improvement plan, a long-term budget plan, strategic plan, over a period of years, and go after funding, perhaps CDBG funding for those kinds of things. I think the people in this community, after walking around and talking to many of them, all have the same kinds of concerns that we've heard over and over again. They want to see the place cleaned up. They want to see some help with flood control, which we can't do, but what we could in the budget and follow through with it. So I don't think you need a facilitator to do this.
Once again, goals are what drive the budget. You have to have your goals before you do your budget, Pamela.
Any further
discussion?
This
is also an opportunity to get the goals, get us all on the same page on the same goals.
Yeah, I feel that we already know what our goals are. Ms. Young, her comments represent quite a few of what the goals have been and will be. We use a facilitator. Listening to her comments, listening to the public's comments is important, and I think we should give our public, Oceano, another chance to talk to us, give us a fresh view 2007 of what they'd like to see that we can do within our jurisdiction here in Oceano. a facilitator, whether it's $3,000, $5,000, it's a lot of money. And we're about Oceano here. I realize Vern's comment that, you know, in the past the board hasn't quite gotten along. That's the past. We pretty much have a new board now. And I think that we can work this for our community's best interests amongst ourselves without spending $3,000 to $5,000 of the community's money.
Remember that just because we have a facilitator or is held at in a location other than this doesn't mean the public's not invited. The public will be there. The public's invited. The public will have input as well.
Other discussion and comment?
Call the question.
May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
No.
Director Dean?
No.
President Hill?
No.
Item 10B, recruitment of the general manager. Consideration of the formation of an ad hoc committee to recruit the next OCSD's general manager. This item was again tabled from the last meeting.
Committee, if you wanted, and then the other three directors could recommend or nominate someone from the outside, from the public, and then those two of those would be drawn as representatives on this committee. And the third director, who is neither a participant or has had one of their nominees selected, could either select a member of district staff or another district or city staff.
Okay. Comment from the public on this item?
It just seems to me this proposal is usurping authority of the personnel committee to begin with. I believe the personnel committee was selected, and it's their job to duly perform this. Whatever solution or way to move this forward should be in the hands and with the authority of the personnel committee. If they decide to run an ad hoc committee with private citizens out here, I believe that should be their decision. I just feel that this is sort of undue pressure. It's not necessary whatsoever. I believe there are plenty of people out there that would like to have a job that pays that well, and that lives in a very nice location right here in the Central Coast. I don't think you're going to have a hard time attracting qualified people to this position. I say whatever the personnel committee decides to do, that's your responsibility. So go for it.
Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none, board comment and discussion, questions?
I think I would like to, whether it's the personnel committee or the way this is set up or whatever way, really doesn't matter to me, but I would like to see that a general manager or a city manager be included on this because they know better than the public what kind of duties a general manager has to do. You know, they've done it. They know how to do it. I would certainly call on someone with some expertise. And they're usually pretty good about helping out. You know, there are several general managers around. And, you know, we have city managers right here very close to us, too, that know what qualifications are required for a general manager.
That is probably the...
To any of the staff. Be it admin, fire department, water department, or sewer department. I don't think it's fair to any of those employees because we have such a small staff here.
Other discussion? Pamela?
I agree with Barbara. I'd like to see some outside representative who has experience in the field. I'd also like to have members of the public indicate if they'd like to be on the committee, and we'd just pull names from the hat. I think people would, it would be an a good experience to have people ask their questions too. Besides the qualifications, you have to have a certain attitude, you have to have a certain mindset, and I would like to see the people of the community involved in this. Not necessarily have, I'd like people just to put their name into the hat. Our next personnel committee meeting will be within a week or week and a half. I'd like to set it up and have people come to that, have people explain why they'd like to be part of it. We do have room for our community to help in this. We've worked on the qualifications for the general manager. We can't speak about those tonight, but those will be at the personnel committee, and they will be at the next meeting of the OCSD so everybody can see them. Tried to pass them out so people can see them. We need your help. We need your help in selecting this. And I agree. I think our staff is already overloaded with things to do. So we'll take it to the personnel committee. I'd like to open it up to the community. Jim and I are part of the personnel committee. Thank you.
Bill, comment.
Involving our other communities, general managers or city managers, I think it's very important. I also feel that involving the public, a couple members of the public, is very important. Advertising our general manager properly, you know, to the public will be very beneficial for the new selection of a general manager.
Mayor Board, as Pamela mentioned, the personnel committee looked at our existing policy, tried to bring that a little bit up to date, and there's a draft which will probably bring before the full board. At that point, I would think we would advertise far and wide and probably have either a screening committee or a ultimately a selection committee, which may be a committee of the whole of the board. I'm not sure how that would look. I'm sensitive to a couple of things. First of all, I agree with Barbara. Having a manager from one of the other local cities or CSDs is well advised, in my opinion. The having perhaps a member of the community or more is also probably a good idea, but I would limit any committee to probably the five members that are suggested here, so that it doesn't get too unwieldy and become counterproductive, still respecting the ability of everyone to have input to that. But I'm not sure at this point what a search committee.
That's just a title, just usually what they're called.
Just a name.
I guess the one caveat I could express to you. That if the decision comes down in the final determination that it's not 5-0, I believe that you may have a trouble retaining someone's interest in the selection process. No one is going to come here and if the vote is 3-2 or 4-1 to hire that person. They will most likely not accept the position. So that is why I have suggested in this, and that's the only thing I'm trying to do, is make sure that each member of this board has an involvement from the very beginning of this, because when the time comes, this has to be your selection unanimously. This can't be a couple of us like the person and some of us don't like the person. That's a recipe for disaster right off the bat. So, I mean, that's the only caveat I give you, and that was why the proposal is written the way it is because I believe that to make this successful and to give somebody a real chance to make a difference in the community of Oceano, it has to be your selection collectively, and everyone has to feel that they bought into this process and they're part of this decision. That's what you were elected for. You know, you can't pass that off to somebody else. I mean, that's where you are.
I believe that all the members of the board understand the gravity of the decision.
I've been through this five times with various jurisdictions, and just to add a footnote to what Mitch is saying, the search committee that you're talking about here, usually their charge is to perhaps update a job description, but then more importantly to supervise the method of getting the recruitment out, whether it's through the various publications for public service officers, or sometimes running ads in local newspapers is done. Sometimes it's through hiring a search firm, which I don't recommend here, but sometimes it's done that way. And then doing the initial screen on the applications you get in, and hopefully you get a fairly large group of applications, and getting it down to 3, 4, 5 candidates. Once you get to that point, then it most often you set up 1 or 2 interview panels, and those interview panels almost always will include a few members from the public, sometimes staff from the local agency, and almost invariably a similar officer from another jurisdiction, that other city manager or general manager. And so that would typically be the point that you would bring those people in, because they do have a good function to serve. So the search committee, you can certainly structure it whatever way you want to do it, but generally it has a fairly narrow focus, and that is get all the resumes in, screen them, and get the 2 or 3 or 4 candidates in front of an interview panel. And typically there's 2 interviews. The first interviews are in front of a panel that people get scored
from one of the other jurisdictions to help participate. I don't see that in this suggestion that's brought before us here right now. Not that we couldn't move to do something different. Is there a suggestion on how we might proceed?
The person from another agency, like council just said, probably would be when the interviewing starts, not on the initial of advertising in the local little pamphlet that's put out, I think, bi-monthly with all the jobs that are available to public offices, or running an ad in a newspaper, or compiling the applications. I think we wouldn't need to ask somebody from another jurisdiction to help in doing that. But when it got down to interviewing these people and coming up with maybe even some of the questions that would be asked at this, because they certainly would know what to ask and what to be looking for, that's when I would involve that person. Mm-hmm. He or she, I don't know which.
So let me again try to understand exactly what the search committee's task would be. Would that be advertising? I think we have access to what CSDA, PERS, probably has some structure for advertising positions of this nature, perhaps.
PERS has?
No, there's various organizations and publications that we're familiar with, and if somebody has an additional one, that would be no problem. I think I just reiterate sort of what council indicated to you. The search committee is kind of like the steering committee. It's like a clearinghouse of ideas and kind of keeps the thing focused, so it keeps moving along. with full participation so that everybody gets a little bit of input into the process. And I say everybody, I'm talking about the five of you, because you guys have got to make the decision. This comes down to your decision. And you've all collectively and individually have to feel comfortable with this decision. You don't want to just, you know, you don't want to take to your own counsel, and you know, this is important to this community. So I would, I would pass that by another general manager, retired one, or somebody from, has substantial number of years, and have look at it and see, see what they think, and see what their recommendation is. And you don't have to take it, but,
Was there a sense on how we might want to proceed, that we have one option here? I guess another option might be leave the early stages of it to the personnel committee. We might look at it as a committee of the whole.
Well, I think what you've got to do is the first part of this process is to getting it down to the five or six applications to be interviewed. And what we want to make sure is that we have 3, 4, 5 people that are competent to be able to know how to pick out someone that is qualified and able to do the job and goes into it without any desire to have a particular outcome. So we don't have somebody saying, well, I've got this friend or I've got that friend that I want to see up there, and so I'm going to get on the committee so I can get that that person in front of the panel. So I think our goal is to figure out a way to get a few competent people that know how to look at these resumes and know how to go through them and make sure that the people going before this panel are competent individuals, and that's basically how we get to that point is somewhat immaterial, except that it would be good that we all have a buy-in into it.
Bill or Pamela, other comment?
I see this really starting off with what our personnel committee is currently taking the reins, and that could end it. I mean, we could have someone tomorrow that just walks in and say, I want to be general manager, and here's my resume, and here's my qualifications. And if the board had a chance to see that resume, we might all just completely say, this is the person for Oceano. But starting off with our personnel committee is where I would direct this.
Okay, it seems to me that probably the first step is one that the personnel committee was currently working on, which would be to update the job description so that we can put out a coherent advertisement and request for resumes to be sent. And then, as Mitch indicated, there's a number of venues that would be advertised in. And at that point, then, we would need to start having a screening committee, an additional manager, as Vern stated, competent people to start looking through resumes, hopefully, that will come in. So I guess the question then is, what do we want to do with this particular proposal? Do we want to, again, leave it to the personnel committee to further work on a job description that might be advertised and then would be subject to review and approval of the board, possibly negotiation further down the road? And
you know, start in advertising after that, or do we want to start with a committee, an ad hoc committee first off?
I think the personnel committee ought to continue at this point with their job description and maybe get some input from maybe another agency, because when I look at some things on here, I think you maybe need to reevaluate some of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, first thing's your job description, next thing is your advertisement. Mm-hmm. And then when the resumes start coming in, then you decide who's going to be looking at those, whether it's, you know, whatever your ad hoc committee is such. You know, however you three do that, you know, how you come up with how that's going to, how that committee is going to work, or that screen, the screeners.
I agree with that completely.
That's how I used to earn my living.
Have you guys, when you did this job description, have you looked at other job descriptions for other general managers and the other yes. CSDs around when you came up with this?
This one started as a framework. We also had our current job description, which goes back to 1999, if I'm not mistaken. And so we modified kind of a three-way modification involving a model from another district, our own general manager's current description, and then additional ideas.
Okay.
I was just thinking of one, just off the top of my head, I just thought of one district at one time when they were advertising for a general manager. They wanted one who had an engineering degree. So we want to be sure that we don't put in things that this district doesn't need in a general manager, but be sure that we do have the qualifications and the experience. I think experience in...
I think it
working in a public venue is extremely important.
I think that if we're going to, you know, do it step by step, I think probably the next step you would want to do with this job description is run it through the attorney and make sure that everything is legal and that we have the legal statements in there that you know, necessary. We want to make sure that we're not asking them to break a law, or we want to make sure that it's understood in there that these duties are not things that they accomplished at, you know, they can't come back and said, well, you said that I had to do this in your job description, and there isn't any out as far as within the legal ramifications of the law or something along those lines. But make sure that we're, you know, dotting our I's, crossing our T's in that area, and run this by the attorney. If you're satisfied with this as being the final draft of the job description, and then go back into your personnel committee and see if you have any changes to make, and then bring it back to the board for approval, and then from that point go forward to select a search.
These advertisements that generally run in the little magazines, Mitch, is the job description enclosed in that, or does it just say XYZ district looking for a general manager and a salary base, maybe?
You don't put the salary in at all.
Okay.
Because, you know, say for an example, you got an extremely qualified, you know, on the job description here, you've got a salary listed. And say you get somebody who currently is making $87,000. They would just wouldn't turn in their application. For $2,000, I don't think you're gonna quibble. Okay.
So no salary.
Yeah, and what you do is you put together a description of what you're looking for, not the job description, but you're looking for a general manager who has the capability of doing such and such, who has experience managing so many people. Those sort of things, generalize things, because what you're going to do is you are putting out a blanket search.
A mini job description.
Right,
you're putting.
Yeah, and from that you will get people with various qualifications, and what you're looking for is the one that most closely fits Oceano.
You'll usually include a brief description of the community, sometimes some idea of how large the budget is. That's sometimes included.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So by saying that we're near the beach really might help in the selection of general manager.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
It wouldn't hurt.
I got a couple questions. At the last, Mitch, when you were hired as general manager,
I was drafted.
When you were drafted, I'm sorry.
There was no recruitment process.
You're right. You were drafted. I apologize. So none of us up here have had any involvement in Oceano in selecting a general manager.
I was on the board at that time when we
selected him. When he was drafted? When he was drafted.
No, well, we, am I allowed to say exactly how we went about that? We had an acting general manager who was given the opportunity to continue as a general manager, giving up the right to move back if necessary. And that acting general manager said, no, I'm just going to go back to that now. And so that point we said to the AA at that point, would you like to be general manager or would you like to not be here? I think was kind of the way we did that.
That was the way it was sort of put, yes.
Yeah, that was the way it was sort of put.
Do you still want a job or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a gun held to your head.
No, well, he had a choice. Yeah. This is America.
I mean, candidly, I've been through this process three times in the last year.
Ah.
And so I know what this process is about.
Period ends. And then have, however your screening is going to occur, whether it's a committee or it's one person or, you know, an outside professional, however your screening is going to occur, have the screening occur and get it down to a manageable interview group, which I think you would optimally want to see 4 to 6 people being interviewed. Typically, you want them interviewed by two different panels. Everybody gets interviewed by two different panels so that you get the reactions from a very large segment of the community and perhaps some outside professionals. They get scored, and then hopefully there's a reasonably good consensus about one or two that you would want to bring back for a second interview.
I think we want to be sure that nobody is interviewing people one-on-one, you know, like, oh, no, I know Joe Blow, so I'll go to breakfast with Joe Blow and mm-hmm. talk to him about what a wonderful job this would be. Either, you know, nobody on this board doing that or anybody in the community out doing their own little search. I want to be sure we don't fall into that trap.
I would completely agree with that, too. It sounds like, if I might suggest, what I'm kind of hearing is perhaps a suggestion that the board might want to make, that the personnel committee continue to refine this draft description until it's ready for presentation to the board, that we all agree on it at that time, and then proceed at that time to decide how we want to advertise it and then consider what the review committee might look like when the applications start to come in.
Yeah.
If I could just give you one word of caution about that, that's certainly a totally appropriate way to do it. But I think you will be surprised at how this search process gets stretched out in terms of the timeline. And you've got a window that's closing on you at the end of June. And so while what you suggested is certainly appropriate, you don't want to find yourself in the middle of March just finally deciding on what the job description is and then starting your advertising process, because this is going to take longer than you expect it to.
So is it possible for the personnel committee to have this job description in our packets for the next meeting? That's 2 weeks.
Applying for.
Right. Okay, then we'll take that as a suggestion. If everyone's in agreement that the personnel committee will meet prior to the next meeting, such that any recommendation the personnel committee would have would be put on the agenda for consideration on the next meeting.
Yeah, the one additional suggestion that maybe you do this early in this 3-week period and get it off to the attorney to review. And make sure that if there's any legalese that should be put in it, it's added to it. Is that?
Does everyone agree with that?
Consensus?
Consensus?
Yes.
Sounds like consensus.
Yes.
So if I could ask the staff to please schedule a personnel committee meeting, we'll look at our calendars and give you some, get together with you and come up with some suggestions for dates and time. Okay, brings us to item number 10C, consideration of a modification to Rules of Order Section 8, introduction of a modification of the District Rules of Order Section 8, director compensation. What this item would do is just add a standard proposal that director compensation and authorized expense reimbursement payment should not be distributed prior to approval of warrants at a regularly held meeting of the Board of Directors.
There's some clarification that needs to be brought up at this point in time. There were some pretty disgraceful comments made at the last meeting on this. What has happened here and where this is coming out of, Brahmer brought up, is last meeting I was not able to be here at the last meeting and I was out of town. And as has been practiced and has been done for many, many years by the directors and by pretty much every director, and how it's just how business has been.
Accusation that.
No, there's been a number of accusations made on this, and I'm sorry if that hasn't happened. I haven't, you know, that was what I had heard.
Vern, that has never happened. So
let me stop the discussion for just a moment.
Okay.
If we could kind of limit our comments to the suggestion.
This is having to do with this item. So anyway, this has been common practice for a tremendous number of years just since the beginning to do this. If the board wants to change this, I have no objection to changing it and making it a set time, but it has not been out of practice to do that.
I think I would agree with you, Vern, that there is no... there is no current policy on that, so there's no lacking any policy. This proposal is designed to put a policy in place where there isn't one now. So it's not a matter of accusing anyone, I don't think, of violating a policy.
Well, that is what happened at the last meeting, and it was there was accusations of being paid early, of being prepaid, and it was completely inappropriate and not appreciated at all. And you know, there's no problem if this is pretty petty, but there's no problem if that's what you want to do, to have a rule that says the checks only come out at the first meeting, okay, of the month. That's not a problem. But for what happened at that last meeting, that was not it just was not appropriate.
I have a question to ask either the general manager or legal counsel.
Oh.
One of you, wake up, Mitch. The compensation to the director, to any director, that's not something that this board has to approve, is it? Because it's work that has been done, that in the statutes,
We by practice put the warrant register on the agenda. Now, if you look at the Board of Supervisors agenda, I remember the time when they eliminated that process. They used to do the same thing. They used to look at all their, you know, that has been practiced. You also, on a monthly basis, get a review of the financial condition of the district, so you know exactly where our district is. So I guess to answer your question, no, you don't. The compensation is set by statute. The government code says what your compensation is.
Right.
And so you're really not approving it. The government code has approved it.
And I think the responsibility of the warrant for any director, the responsibility of it would be with the general manager or the AA looking at that when you sign off on those requests, I guess, or whatever you call that form, is to be sure that one director is not put in for three meetings in one day, because you cannot get more than $100 a day. You could go to 10 meetings that day and you're still only going to get $100. Or that for your total month compensation, it's not more than $600. That is their responsibility to make sure that one of us isn't cheating. Hmm. I mean, you know, they're the ones who's approving that and making it, but it's the money is the amount per meeting is set from the state. It's not set by this district.
That's correct.
Right.
And what? And then on reimbursement of expenses, if you go and you come back with your receipts, we're talking about reimbursement, wasn't that in here, of expenses? Mm-hmm. If you turn in your...
Those would be excess expenses after...
Authorized expense reimbursement payment. All right, so I went someplace and I had my per diem, which I don't have to give you any receipts on per diem, but I'm going to turn in...
Parking,
oh yeah. Okay, it cost me $10 to park. So I'm going to turn that in on an expense account. I've already put out the money. My receipt is already attached to my expense voucher. And if somebody wanted that ahead of time, I just think this is petty. Sorry.
It's like when I go up to the Airport Land Use Commission meetings, which I go all the time, and I park up there and I pay for parking. Okay, I could bring those in and get reimbursed for them. I don't do it. I just go ahead and pay the parking myself. But those could be brought in and be reimbursed for. But that's beside the point on this. This is
meetings were attended, and to handle that in a logical manner at the same time for all the directors.
Well, I would say 90% of the time, they probably, that check might already be printed and sitting there. So, and if it's printed and sitting there, and I'm going to go on vacation for 3 weeks, that really kills somebody to open the drawer and hand me that check.
So has staff come and complained that this is a problem for them, or are we looking for a problem to solve for them? Or are we just looking for more rules to bog down and make more things for staff to jump through to make sure that they're...
Well, it would seem to me that staff would have to jump through more if they have to stop what they're doing and pay one director, whereas they would otherwise do all of the directors at one time. So the objective was to ease the load on staff rather than impose something else.
Would this ease the load any on staff?
We actually enjoy seeing you.
Remember
so
that
that's a, is that a no?
Let's all visit them.
Well, is this something that's going to help you or not help you? I mean,
actually,
instead of us trying to tell you what's going to help you and what's not going to help you, will you tell us what's going to help you and not help you?
Okay. I guess I will go where fools bear to tread. But the point is that these kind of rules and narrowly focused things like this are things that eventually, down the road, you're going to be tripping over. And this is really not a good idea. You guys can do much better than this. You really can. It makes no difference to us. We have to issue checks every day. Not to directors, but just in the course of business. And if a director comes in, I know it's a joke. I mean, you took it as a joke, but we really do. I mean, we welcome you to come in. You get a chance to actually see what goes on, for a few minutes. You get a snapshot picture of what's happening, and that does it. We welcome your presence. We welcome anybody's presence.
Yeah. A lot of times there's some extra checks that come up to get the discount. I know. To get your discount. Mm-hmm. So that's not in the regular check run.
This whole process, but the state of California has limited
or define your compensation levels. And I guess the issue is, you know, I don't want staff to be in the middle of this, but it doesn't make any difference to us to issue a check. It really doesn't. I mean, one way or another, it's not. It's just, you know, part of what we do during a, you know.
Is this normal in a district that staff would issue and has staff historically issued a lot of checks to directors before the warrants are approved? I mean, is it normal that a district, you know, a director comes up, because the only director I know of is Vern at this point. I don't know if there's other directors in the past that have come up to the staff and said, hey, I want my money from the meeting, the last meeting, before the warrants are approved. Is this normal?
The work has been accomplished. We cannot issue a check. For, like, if somebody came up to us and said, you know, Pamela Dean comes up tomorrow and says, I want my pay for February. Well, we can't do that. You know, she has not performed the service. But she can get paid for tonight because she has performed the service when tonight's meeting's over. It is not, you know, it is, and I guess the other issue is that this comes up so absolutely rarely. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like every week somebody's coming into our office asking for their warrant in advance of the normal distribution, or I don't even know if you want to call it normal distribution, the board meeting night. It's really not a problem. I mean, you know, that's, yeah. You know, if you're looking at staff, it's not a problem for staff to write a check. It doesn't happen that often, and.
You know, it seems
to me that if it's a non-problem, it's not an imposition on staff, that we probably should drop the item.
I think that's a good idea. Thank you.
I can see dropping the item. I agree. But, you know, just being a business person and having employees, I have a payday, you know, and that's when my employees receive their pay. I have a pay service that if I call my pay service before payday, they're going to charge me more for doing my payroll.
We're not taking out any taxes or anything on this.
No, but I'm just mm-hmm. talking as an employer. This is
just to make sure that there's not unnecessary policies or policies that would benefit everybody that don't exist.
Well, that's a really good goal. A goal item.
Something we can follow up.
Yeah.
But wasn't that a goal previous? It was a goal previous, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it was that even, we didn't quite get done. It was agreed to by the board.
And I thought we were going to look at our travel policies, too. There were several things. I just would like to see, you know, not bothering the staff for a check, because that means they have to drop everything they're doing. Find somebody to sign it, I guess, too, when you ask for one, right?
Well, actually, if a director comes in and wants a warrant, we've got it. We found a director and we've got a staff member, so we're okay. It's when we have to run around and try to find a director to sign the miner's bill, because if we don't get it to them on the 10th, we lose our 10% discount.
They usually know where to find me.
Yeah.
Or they're really good with a telephone to say, where are you?
Which, by the way, is not done in most districts where the directors sign checks. Matter of fact, it's in much of the training, it's taught not to happen because it puts the directors in additional liability.
I'm more comfortable with a director signing the checks than just staff. Sorry, guys.
I tend to agree with that. I think the city's the mayor signs the checks.
I'm just saying that's typically what is.
I don't care which director it is that signs. But a director and staff signs first.
So we're dropping this from the calendar.
Yeah, hopefully.
Without
prejudice.
Okay, that seems to be
a consensus.
Thank you.
Without action. Item 11, report of district representatives. I'll start. We had, first of all, a meeting in Templeton
which was a couple weeks ago by the CSDA local jurisdiction, and Director Mann was a, one of the presenters and sponsors of that, and it was very interesting and informative. It talked about district legislation and thanked Dave Eckbaum from Grover Beach and Barbara Mann and Vern Dahl for their service to the district. The district plan is running well. Director Mann mentioned to us at the last meeting that there was a DDT discharge from the sanitation district plant. Apparently there's been a second instance of trace DDT found in the discharge from the sanitation plant. All the biosolids, all of the, you know, the sewer effluent is low and well within the limitation, but DDT is something that the sanitation district has absolutely no control over. They're going to start investigating the three trunk sewer lines to try to narrow down where this might be coming from. They believe it's quite likely that someone has dumped old chemicals. DDT is something that's been illegal for
20 years.
25 years, and they suspect that it may be some old stock that somebody's cleaning out a garage or something and thought it might be a good idea to just dump it in the sewer. And if anyone has any kind of things like that that they come up with, any old poisons, paint, any hazardous material like that, the Cold Canyon landfill will accept that material at no charge to you. So if you can arrange to get that to Cold Canyon landfill, it can be safely disposed of at no charge, and that way it won't be discharged into the sewer plant and out into the environment. So they're, the sanitation district and our board is asking for your help. If there is any material like that, please do not dump it down the drain. Please look to proper disposal of that material, which would be taking it to the Cold Canyon landfill or calling the district office perhaps for some help and suggestions with how to dispose of that properly and safely. They hope not to be fined for that because it's obviously something they have no control over, but the potential does exist that the district could be fined. And
It's
$3,000,
isn't it?
It's $3,000 and an incident. And so this is the second time that they found the trace in the plant discharge. So it's nothing that's in the plant process. It's something that's coming in through the...
And those fines would not be paid by the money that the district has, but it would be paid by the charges that are charged to each of the customers within that district on the water bill, which is where the sanitation charges are placed.
Yeah, so again, we would urge everyone, please do not dump hazardous material down the drain, either in the commode or the sink or anything like that, such that it might find its way into the sewer. There are proper and no-cost ways of disposing of hazardous waste of that nature, so we would respectfully ask for your help to eliminate this problem. The district finished repair and sealing of the digester, except for a remaining weather strip application. They approved purchase of a laboratory scale, intake bypass pump and piping, and they're seeking grant funding for pre-disaster mitigation projects from OES and FEMA. So that's what's going on there.
Did they get it anywhere with... the charges that FEMA was wanting to was saying that they weren't going to pay, that they had originally agreed on from the earthquake? If you could ask that next time.
I can ask that next time. I don't know the answer. It wasn't mentioned in that meeting. On January 18th, I went to the Zone 3. There's new representatives on Zone 3 as well, which
would be Larry Versoff from Grover Beach and Ted Ehring from Pismo Beach.
Larry was out there last year.
He was. Okay, thank you. I stand corrected.
And who was the other one?
Ted Ehring from Pismo Beach. He's newly elected there. They presented the proposed budget, which I'll share with staff. They had a presentation on that they're going to plan to do here on the interim downstream release schedule, and that's because we had an issue with that in their proposal for that, so they're going to bring us a presentation on the subject at a time to be discussed, I guess, with staff.
That will be on the next agenda, and I think that that shows that one of the concerns
they're going to be taking out and removing some of the current treatment. So I understand that they have two trains of treatment process. The one treatment train is now handling 100% of the load, and it seemed to me that they I did hear that they are planning to use some like 1.2 million gallons per day of state water to mix in. And Phil, I don't know if you, I knew you were there, and I don't know if you saw that or not. And I think Mitch mentioned one of the last Zone 3 meetings about the idea of using state water when possibly there's some of the agencies are not state water participants. So that's an ongoing concern. That was basically it for the Zone 3 meeting. And then the fire committee meeting yesterday. Chief reported that we've had 45 calls to date. We talked about the expectations of the committee members, since we have new committee members, working on the fire department handbook. There's a consolidation meeting that's scheduled for the 26th of the month, which is Friday. There was no new business on the old fire station. We are considering, I guess, a battalion chief position to replace the training captain, where our district would pay 11% of that, which would be shared among Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande as well. So we would do joint training, as I understand. Is that correct, Mike? You might want to embellish that a little bit.
If I understand what you're talking about, that's coming out of the consolidation study, the joint training officer. Mm-hmm. And he would work for all three departments, apparently, mm-hmm. where we would be paying part of the salary.
Okay. How did we find that out?
Which three departments?
Roy Grand Lake, Grover Beach, and Oceano.
And Pismo would not be part of it because of their being...
Pismo's CDF, and they have all the top brass they need, so...
Well, I mean, was this something that's already been...
The discussion on Friday that this appears to be a go, then we need to bring this back to this board for approval here.
Thank you.
But I guess if Ms. Dean doesn't like it on Friday, we'll never see it again.
Things happen.
And then there was also a proposal, again, just in the proposal status of consideration of joint dispatch facilities. That's kind of been an ongoing discussion.
Yeah, for like a year.
Apparently there's some concrete proposals ready to be made. Okay, so that's my reports. Vice President Bookout?
Ocean Advisory, we had a new election of a president. Arlita Wheeler was elected president for a second year. The some talk was county referrals was a bike lane on 22nd Street, and there were some pros and cons about it. I see it as a benefit to the community from my standpoint. having seen a bike lane put in on past 13th Street a few years ago by the county. The Tacken property on 21st and 22nd Street, they're requesting a general plan amendment to that property so that they could possibly put a medical office, a store, numerous other things there. This was looked at to be a good improvement to our community rather than storage buildings that could go on that site with the current zoning and give more of a direction to the Oceano specific plan that came out a few years ago. The Dana Lilly from the county spoke regarding the affordable housing, and he was very interesting to hear him speak. That's about it.
Okay, Vern?
The Airport Land Use Commission met while I was still out of town, and so I was not able to attend it, although I did get a brief update on what went on. And we'll pass that on secondhand, and that is that
our finance committee meeting, and I'll defer to Barbara on that one.
Thank you.
The other meeting I attended, one of the others, was the Zone 11A on the 16th, and Jim kind of stole my thunder because Norm Getty will be the new member sitting on that board. He'll take the place of John Taylor. The good news, and this is what Norm has been working on for a long time with the county, is about the insurance for Zone 11A. They've got the insurance costs for the zone down to $59,000 to $60,000, not to exceed $70,000. They found out that the county has not been or has been underfunding their insurance for a long, long time. And so Norm thought that this was a fair share of what we had to pay. I think they were talking about $135,000 for our Zone 11A to pay before this. So Norm has been working hard to do that, and we're lucky to have him appointed to the committee. One of the things we talked about was putting gates on the levees so that that would stop the dumping that's occurring there. The levees are also becoming high-speed raceways. So we're looking at some existing gates that can be closed and also putting in new gates to stop that. The farmers who attended the meeting said that they thought they could live with that. And I think a lot of people will be glad that maybe we'll be able to stop some of that dumping and racing through the levees. There are several places that they're going to be looking at. They've been doing the annual inspection maintenance items for this year. Proposed maintenance items for this year are to repair the flap gates. So apparently there are flaps that open on the culverts that go into the creek. Some of those are covered by dirt. Some of them are not operating. The county is going to take the lead and fix those. Then they have plans for increasing the levee height. The levee height on the north side of the levee was always higher. They're going to increase the levee height behind the mobile home parks about 1 foot. There's about 3,500 feet of land for Zone 11A. It's going to involve the Oceano Fire, the CHP, and the sheriff. So we will have a new emergency response plan. They are also are going ahead with the environmental documents that they need, which is going to take a lot of staff time, a lot of money. You won't see a lot of activity on that for a little bit. The other, I think, personnel committee, we talked about that quite enough tonight, we've kind of gone over that. So we're looking at completing the qualifications, and we will take anyone's revisions board members can speak to GM Cooney and give them their revisions, and we will also take those to, we'll take all of these things we discussed to heart. I did attend the Templeton training. It's a lot to learn for a new member really fast. I attended the finance component, which was given by John Ornelas of Heritage Ranch. And he really strongly suggested that we all have a strategic plan. It's a capital improvement plan, a five-year budget plan, so that you know where you're going, which is what we're talking about here. He also thought that you should speak to depreciation. That should be a budgeted item. And he mentioned that he uses many of the CSDs use particular computer programs. Several of those are, there's ENCODE, MIP, which is a government fund accounting, SpringBook, and Excel. He did show us what he uses for his monthly budget, so we got to see that too. It was very interesting, and plan to go to as many more of these as possible. And I did want to add one thing to the Zone 3. Dan Silvera, who Phil trained at our water yard, is one of the new employees at the Lopez treatment plant. So we congratulate Dan for that. And congratulate Phil for his good training.
We need the goals before we get into the budget. We have to make sure that we take care of that so that we can perhaps look at some of the things that we used to do that we haven't done in a while. Examples, street lighting, to see if we'll have the funds for that. Another thing we talked about putting perhaps that Pamela and I would like to add as a goal is looking at a restroom facility on the east side of the community. Looking for means to mitigate the water rates, see what we can do about that. Don't know that we'll be able to accomplish these things, but we're certainly going to look at them. We have a salary parity for district employees, which the community of Napomo paid for, and were kind enough to share it with us. I know some people were perhaps upset that finance had it, that it should have gone straight to personnel, but it is a finance issue, the salaries. But we're certainly sharing that, and it was great somebody else paid for that that survey. We didn't have to, and it took into account a lot of agencies. It's still a little hard to compare apples and oranges on it, I think, on some of the areas, because it's what maybe one person here does, nobody else does those things in any of the other districts. It makes it a little hard on some of that. Streetlight funding. The general manager appointed a member of the public, Kathy Young, to head up a subcommittee to investigate the street lighting needs of our community. I think they're going to put a note in the January utility bills asking for citizen participation if somebody feels that they need a street light and didn't get one when their area was built, to notify let them know, and there's Ms. Young will get back with a survey and then try to decide how many or where the streetlights are needed the most, prioritize them. We used to plan for, I believe, when I first ran on the board, maybe two or three streetlights a year, but we did away with that and decided just to pay for the electricity so that we could keep the money here in Oceano, rather than the governor taking it from us. You could put it in fire and they couldn't take it. And that was really what we did with our funds. 2007-2008 budget, that's coming up. Again, the goal setting is necessary for that before we can tell staff some of the things that we would like to see included in the budget. And I presented LAFCO. Anybody that was interested in LAFCO, it was a couple of the smaller districts were interested in that. Los Osos didn't stay. They know all they need to know about LAFCO. They left. It was a good meeting. I was disappointed, though, that more of our directors weren't there. I think that that's something that every year all the directors should go to. You always hear something new, just saying, oh, I've been to that, or I've been a director for 8 years, 10 years. You need to go to that meeting. You need to attend that meeting because there are always new things, and you never know what you might pick up that you could use. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Mitch? Nothing?
Questions?
Comments and questions on the reports?
Director Dean, the insurance for Zone 11A is how much again?
$59,000 to $60,000.
Now, how they had been doing that in the past is they've been given the zone quite a runaround, and where they've been saying, okay, your insurance charge this year is, you know, what it is, $59,000 to $60,000, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it was. But that's all we're charged to the district for the insurance. But what they were actually doing was saying, okay, that's what they're collecting out of insurance for this year. But then they are having a back charge that they don't, or that's all they're collecting this year. But then there's a back charge that they're going to collect years down the line, and the actual insurance cost for the year was a lot higher than what they were collecting that year. And have they done away with that? Has that been cleared up yet?
I'm not sure on that. I know that it was never to exceed $70,000. I thought this was a yearly amount that the county had restructured its insurance funding.
Okay, because they kept going through that runaround and said, well, then you're never going to charge you more than so much a year. Mm. But what was happening was that they were never going to collect more than so much a year, but then the charge was going to be made up in years down the road when this funding had, you know, when their shortfalls in funding had caught up, and where their insurance rates around the entire county had caught up. They were even going to borrow the money from another.
No, agency. There's no borrowing, and I think there's no back charging. But
and it's not Norm's fault. You know, he's done a great job negotiating it down. Right. But it's still not right.
I think they were proposing something like $300,000.
Yeah, but you were sitting here too,
right,
when we were told.
That's right. We were told that there'd be no
that there would be charge. No insurance charge out of that assessment.
That's correct.
That all that assessment was supposed to be used was for cleaning up the creek, and it's not happening.
Yeah, and they would have had no place to go for this insurance money had not this 218 passed. Mm-hmm. Now, you said the flap gates are going to be repaired, cleaned?
It depends on the flap gates. So some have to be repaired. Some are partially buried under the sand or dirt or vegetation there. So that will all get cleaned out, so those are operable.
Okay, and the county is going to do this?
Yes.
Are they going to do it under Zone 3 funds, Zone 11A funds, under general funds, under what kind of funds?
It's under the Zone 11A funds.
Okay, so yes. This is going to be part of the Zone 11A
yes.
costs.
Yes,
okay.
They're doing the levees also, the road crews.
Okay.
You know, that's been a big concern of mine, having lived in the community of Oceano since 1987. I remember seeing our lagoon rise many times. And we had one individual that would personally go down there and open up those gates so the water could exit the lagoon. He's no longer with us. But with the tules that have grown up in the lagoon over the last few years, all it's going to take is one of those tules to remove itself from where it is with water flowing out, clog those gates, and our community down by the lagoon will flood. And hopefully that the county acts sooner than later in cleaning out those gates and maybe find a better solution than just having gates, maybe opening a direct path so that we can have access of a lagoon and flow the water out in case of a rainy season.
That lagoon is of interest to everyone, and how it's going to, how that's going to work, and if it will plug up things along the way and back up, or if it will flow through. The flap gates themselves will be cleaned out in this in this year. So all of this, all these maintenance items are for this year.
Excellent.
Provide lights, money for street lights as a part of that project.
What can I ask Director Bookout? What what was the Director Mann, whoever was there? What was the outcome of the bike lane? Is Oceano Improvement, excuse me, Oceano Advisory going to send a letter of support or what?
No.
So I just need to know.
It's still early.
Oh, okay.
We were told it was already submitted, Bill, and that was why OLEDA didn't, we weren't answering it. But maybe the people who live on 22nd don't really think it would be a great idea to have a bike lane there, because that's going to do away with the parking. And then there will be no place on that street for big vehicles to come and try to take care of problems.
We also talked about the speed bumps, and there's a lot of, you know, conflicts and things. But 22nd Street, when the county did the bike lane on 13th Street, they actually put a curb and gutter in on 13th Street. This, if the county puts a curb along 22nd Street, this will improve, you know, 22nd Street. We don't know what their plans are for this. Curb parking is something that needs to be addressed. So we need to find out what the county exactly is going to do with the bike lane. Are they going to put curb? Are they going to take into account parking? That's a concern. You know, we don't want to see any of the residents lose any parking over there. Is the street bigger than what it actually shows? And I believe it is. I believe you'll see the street will widen if the county does put in a bike lane and puts in a curb there. There's still questions to be asked of the county.
On one side of the street, if you put in a curb, the people would lose their parking. Because if you've ever gone down the street and looked in the evening when people were there, they're not parking parallel to their house. They're parking this way to their houses. You put a curb there, you're taking... How are they going to get into park? And then you're going to have four cars trying to park on the street this way when there's room for two, because right now four or more cars are parking this way towards their house. I mean, I'd be happy to have a curb on my side of the street. I mean,
so I kind of have a clue where this is going. How does this conversation affect your recommendation?
I was wondering that if, you know, first of all, people should probably make their opinions known on the proposed bike lane, but if the county decided to go forward with a bike lane and whatever other improvements they might want to make on 22nd Street, that we could request perhaps additional funding for streetlights along there for nighttime safety and safety of pedestrians and bicyclists along there.
Is that a consensus, folks?
I would go for that. That sounds really good for our community.
Please.
Barbara, you live there. I don't know if you like to see additional street lighting.
Street lights would be nice. I think when they put bike lanes in, if I remember, sometimes I don't remember too well, but a lot of times I remember what happened. When the bike lane was put in on 13th Street, they had a grant, and there was no really what the public wanted or didn't want. It was, we've got this grant and we're doing this, and they did it. I mean, it was, and if they've got another grant, I don't know whether they do or not, but if they do, it won't really matter a hill of beans whether we want it or not want it. If they decide they're going to put it in, they'll put it in. I just would hope that they would take out the speed bumps. That might make life a little easier.
I believe this centers around a grant, does it not, Mitch? Do you?
I'm sorry?
This does center around a grant. So
if they get the grant, they'll go ahead and do it, believe me. It won't matter.
Let them do
what
it.
What people say. Because it's use it or lose it on grants. because sometimes, many times it's tied in not only with that portion of their bike lane, but it could be some bike lanes in another part of the county. They're all it's all tied together generally. Because I really think the public was not real crazy about the bike lane on 13th Street because they just thought it would be too dangerous, if I remember that. That's been a number of years.
How many bike lanes do we need? We have one on Elm, we have one on 13th, and now they're talking one on 22nd. It's just...
Yeah.
And 22nd isn't a very...
It is not a friendly street.
Yeah. 22nd Street. I don't want to open that back up. I'll talk to you guys later about that. With regard to Zone 3, now you mentioned that that there's state water being proposed to be mixed in with the with Lopez water, and yet we know Oceano is a state or a member of state water. We receive state water. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And we are indeed participants in state water.
Right, that's correct. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the ratio works roughly 60% state water, 40%, or about 38% Lopez water, and about 2% our own wells. What are you shaking your head for? Okay. My question, I've always been wanting to ask this question, get an answer, is Lopez water actually more expensive than state water, or is state water... vice versa. We know there's a fixed maintenance fee that every person has to pay, and that's for the upgrade, for the water treatment plant and Lopez, the upgrade there for the retrofit. But what I wanted to know is Lopez water itself, if it's metered to us, how is that in compared cost per acre foot, however, as opposed to state water?
State water used to be more expensive. Now Lopez water is more expensive with the dam retrofit and the upgrade to the purification plant.
Okay, I understand that that's a fixed price as far as a fixed cost is the upgrade, but the water usage itself, or is that part of the overall equation?
We get a certain amount of water that we are entitled to, and we pay for that amount of water whether we receive it or not. So it's actually we're paying for capacity. So if the, for example, when the state water went through, depending on the size of the pipe, it was the cost of putting in the system. And the system was put in and the pipe size was put in based on how much water each community that was going to receive water from state water wanted. And so they purchased that amount of capacity, and that is the maximum capacity on the line. And therefore, we pay for that capacity whether we get that
right.
water or not.
I understand that, Vern. I'm talking about Lopez water now.
Same
thing?
Same principle.
What? Same principle. Another way, okay.
150 acre feet of state water, and for that we pay around $1,100 to $1,200 an acre foot.
Oh, yeah. So state's cheaper. Correct.
But it used to be that Lopez was somewhere in the $700 to $800 range before the retrofit.
Before the retrofit. Okay, that's basically all I want to know. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions on the director's reports? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 13, consideration. I'm sorry,
the 12.
12, board member items for discussion. Are there any others? Vern?
Yeah, I have one. A couple of years ago or so, there was a street lighting committee that got the people together down at Melody Lane, and the board had an action on this last meeting, which I was not here for. And we have a policy that goes through how street lights are to be acquired, and what it does is it brings all the people in that area together to make that decision with everyone. And that had happened a couple years ago in that area, and the people that were at the meeting had come up with an agreement to have low-lying lights in that area. And now that we've gone the other direction on that, I think that maybe we should have a letter go out to those other people that were not involved in the process of making that decision, that are under the impression that they've been through that decision, and that the decision had been made and agreed upon a couple of years ago, and now they're going to see a street light or so show up there after they've already are already under the impression that that the process had been that they've gone through the process which our policies reflect, and that there was an agreement contrary to what's happening now. So I think that maybe the district should send a letter to those people informing them within that 200-foot radius of what we've been doing or what we're doing here.
Can I make a suggestion here?
Sure.
At this point, what we have is we're going to do an evaluation of the entire community, and that evaluation is going to do two things. If you think that you need a street light or want a street light, or if you have a street light and don't want a street light, we have people who are on that side of the equation also. What will happen as at such time as this event, any request will go through the policy process where, you know, the people within 200 feet get to have their input into the process. Also, we will have a better idea community-wide what the size of the scope of our involvement needs to be. This may be a, you know, we could say, okay, this turns out to be a five-year process if we budget X number of dollars over the next 5 years. But this is what we're trying to find out. This is where we're going. And so...
Okay. I understand that, but my understanding was that that's what's going to happen for all the rest of the community.
Melanie Lane is as far as I understand, they're part of this.
Okay.
I mean, they're part of the community. So if, you know, and I think that it's probably pretty obvious they have a request for a street light. And if that's the case, if they're back for a request for a street light, which they're entitled to do, every 2 years you're entitled under our policy to come back and have the issue revisited.
So the action from the board of last meeting was not to... Wasn't that action to grant that street light and
no.
to look for funds?
No.
Or not?
No, it was it referred to the street lighting committee, finance committee, and the finance committee considered it. The finance committee appointed a very capable individual to head up the review of the community, and that will be dealt with at the finance committee as far as trying to fund it. If there is requests for additional street lights or requests to remove street lights, those will go through the street lighting committee and just during the course of the normal process.
All right. In watching the meeting of the last meeting, I didn't get that understanding out of it. So thank you for clarifying that for me.
At least that's my understanding of what's happening.
That's not my understanding.
It was mine. Did not promise anything.
My understanding was you were going to try to get funds for that light. Now.
Not that I'm
no.
aware of. No.
Is anybody
else?
We said
in the next budget system, which is July, and I'm sure that Melanie Lane probably is the top priority for a street light. I mean, we know that will be it.
I understood it to say, too, that Mr. Cooney was going to check with the county about funds now. And Jim had said he was going to write a letter, respond to the one letter that came from the supervisor that was never acted on by the board.
Those are the same thing. And what the funding that we're looking are read, and the board needs to have some pretty good idea of what the community's wants and desires are. And so that's why that the wisdom, and that this happened before my time, so I will say somebody else was wise to develop the street lighting policy, that if there is a request for a street light, that there's at least a notification. If nobody cares, that's fine, but at least there is a notification as to what the process is, and everybody gets to participate. And I appreciate your advocacy for the street light, but the other people, you know, you've got to be, you know, you... In order to prevent civil war, we've got to ensure that everybody knows what's happening, because that's what they're expecting if they're living in that area and they've been through this process once before. They know if a street light's going to be put in, they will be notified of that fact, and they will have the opportunity, if they so desire, to either support or object to the street light being put in.
Well, I think the idea was that we'd already, the person had already waited 4 years and 3 months, and now you're saying you want them to start all over again?
They have to. I mean, they what they have to do is that if they want a street light, that, and I thought we, you know, sorted this out at the Finance Committee, is what we're going to do is review the entire community to find out what the desires of the community are.
Well, as I pointed out in my follow-up letter to you, too, that street lighting policy is a little bit flawed, where you're taking somebody who doesn't want a street light because they can't observe the night sky over the policy of safety for people. You know, that's like saying, I don't want to wear a helmet when I ride my motorbike, but you make people wear helmets because it's safe. And so it's the same thing. I don't think it's right to give in to these people and say, oh, you can have this kind of light or no light because you don't want it, and we don't care about the safety of the other people. I guess I didn't understand that they have to start all over asking for it.
No. The decision at that time was if they want to put in a low lamp that didn't affect the ambient sky, they could do that. Then they could have done that a couple years ago. So that wasn't, you know, that it's not, they're not being precluded from putting in something that would provide them with safety. They, you know, if they want a street light that's say 6 feet tall, then yes, the neighbors have said that they,
then those people need to be notified so that they know that the agreement that they came to in that meeting is no longer in effect.
That is correct. I think that maybe if you and I could get together and go look at some of these lights, and maybe we could put something in that'll make everybody happy.
Well, I think it would look bad to have a different kind of light there when all the lights on either side of it are the same kind of light, just for that one space. I don't really believe these people go stand on Melody Lane and look up at the night sky. I think that's, yeah, there's street lights on both sides of them. Why would they want to preclude that one street light? And I think the idea of why the Williams haven't put in a street light, because on principle they don't want to pay for it, for all the reasons I stated last time, that it should have been put in the first place by the developer. So, and the other thing is what I kind of realized too, is all the time that she wrote the letter, and you wrote a letter back, and she went to two street lighting committee meetings, I don't think anybody ever explained, and I didn't understand, that there was never money budgeted for streetlights, and so it was never going to be paid for. I think, in fact, Mary told me that Barbara's the one who suggested she apply for a streetlight. And so she assumed that this was a streetlight she was going to apply for and was going to be paid for.
No, it was made very clear that it wasn't going to be paid for. And I helped her about going to Supervisor Saja and looking for some money to put that in.
I think it was made clear at the street lighting committee, but I don't think she realized that before then. And I don't think anybody realized, or I never did, that there was never money put in the budget for it. And there hadn't been in the beginning. And your response to her, you never told her that, oh, there's no money, we don't budget for streetlights. I mean, I think it might have made a difference if she'd been told that in the first place. I didn't understand that, I'm sorry.
I said I believe in the budget description. It says for electricity bill only.
I understand that, but as people that live there, we don't know that. We don't know what the budget says. And when she got the response back from Mr. Cooney, he didn't say, we don't budget for streetlights. Never said that at all. And so nobody realized that till went through the whole process for 4 years and then go to a streetlight committee meeting and say, oh, you can have this light, but now you have to pay for it. I mean, I've got the copies of the letter you sent
to
her.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, but I think there's a slight misunderstanding in this. Is it makes no difference who's going to pay for it. The issue initially starts off with is, can you have the street light?
There was going to be a light.
I think that the appeal process would have to have notification to those people that on such and such a date. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were appealing that decision. I didn't understand that. And if you want to appeal that decision to this board, you can do that. But
Pardon? I'm sorry. I thought that's what I stated last time. That's what I was doing.
I missed that. And if that's the case, we would have to notify the neighbors, and they would have the right to come and also address the board. Your appeal could not be just ex parte or one-sided.
And that's not very made very clear in that procedure. Like I said, I think the procedure is really flawed. It should be changed anyway. So.
Yes, and I think I was under the wrong impression, too, because I thought we weren't going to have to go through the whole process again, that they had already spent 4.5 years, and that we'd find some money to get their light in. And you were going to check with PG&E to see if they had a method of putting the pole in for the people, or the extra money that I guess we didn't get from the CDBG funds. So we're going to look into those two options to fund that. So I was under the impression, I think that Kathy was, that we weren't going to make her neighborhood go through the whole process again. I agree that it would be good to notify the your neighbors.
How could you not go through the whole process again? If you have people who you know, there are, in all fairness, I understand Ms. Young's position. I also understand the other people's position. Everyone has to have the right to address their position and make a you have to make an informed decision. You can't make a decision based on who's standing in front of you. Otherwise, you're going to be faced with somebody else next week whose mind is totally opposed to Ms. Young's position.
Well, that seems to me we do have a process. So can we start the process or survey the residents once again if the 2 years has passed and make sure that there's people in favor in that particular area, since there seemed to be a.
It could easily, the opinion of the people could easily have changed between then and now. And you may end up with people that all want it. You know, that's fine. But my understanding of what happened at the last meeting is the whole process was just thrown out the window. We didn't even follow the policies of the board went around the policies, and the general manager was trying to explain that.
Just trying to make this up as we go along. The next person who's going to stand in front of you is going to make up another rule, and we're going to be totally upside down in this.
So, what isn't fair is the process for not having a street light put in is different than the street light for process for having a street light put in. The people that didn't want the street light in the beginning didn't have to go to the lighting committee or go to the board or anybody. They just brought you a petition, and then it was approved.
Well, okay. My understanding is that's before there was any houses there. That was before construction. There was nobody to ask.
I think this is one of the policies of when you're looking at updating your policies and procedures, that'll certainly be one that's looked at.
I would again request, if I could, that we perhaps expedite the process in this case.
Okay. I thought we were moving along on a really great path. Now we've just been sidetracked. But I'll tell you what. Why don't you call me and we will get this thing moving. Okay.
Alex, okay. If we don't follow those policies, do we leave ourselves open for any kind of liability from somebody that may not want this?
You certainly leave yourself open for criticism. Mm-hmm. I haven't examined that particular policy, so I can't cite you chapter and verse on it. I'm not sure that there would be a technical legal liability, but you'd certainly be subject to criticism for not following your own policies.
Well, I would think that if people did not have input into the process, and our policies say that they do have input into the process, that might leave us somewhat liable.
You might be right. I haven't looked at that policy.
Okay. In the same vein, you could say that policy is bad because it doesn't address something before it addresses something else. So let's see you guys for having a bad policy. I mean, you could say that either way.
Yeah, you know, that's true to a degree. And if policy could be good, could be bad. It's a lot harder to sue over something that doesn't exist and should be some other way, because that's always somebody's opinion, as opposed to following or not following what is procedure.
President Hill, could we take a motion to continue past 10?
I'll entertain a motion to continue past 10, hopefully.
Beyond this. Unless somebody else does, then they can second it.
We just have to consider our warrants left.
Yeah. Right.
We got 8 minutes, 7 minutes.
Okay. Other board member items for discussion? Pamela? Bill?
Nothing.
Barbara? Okay. Brings us to consideration of warrants.
President Hill, on page 7, there's an item for Couts Chevron in the amount of $98. Please pull that to do that separately.
Yeah. And likewise, on page 9, there's a item, Kirk and Seamus, legal fees. I don't know what the percentage of breakdown is, but I recuse myself on that item for his legal fees regarding the flooding in my nursery.
You get to vote on mine, and I get to vote on yours.
Very nice.
Okay, I would then entertain a motion.
I move that we pay the warrants with the exception of those two.
No, that's not the way you do
okay.
it.
Okay. Couch and...
Couts.
How do you pronounce it?
Couts.
And Kirk.
Yeah, you got to do them two separately.
Okay. So you need a motion to pay all the warrants except for those two.
No.
Okay. Separately.
Okay.
Two motions.
Okay. I make a motion that we pay all the warrants except Couts and Kirk and Seamus, and that we pay those two. Okay. Somebody else made a motion.
Who's on first and who's on second?
I'm not going to try it a third time.
I'll do one. I move that we pay. No, that isn't going to work.
Why don't we pay the two individual ones?
Yeah.
And then we'll pay the rest
of
them.
Yeah,
okay, I make a motion that we pay the Kirk and Seamus.
Excellent. That's the way to do it.
Now that we've entertained everybody, Kirk and Seamus warrant.
I'll recuse myself.
Yeah.
We need a second for Kirk and Seamus.
I second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And one recused?
Okay, I make a motion that we pay the Couts warrant.
I recuse myself.
Need a second?
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? With one recusal. Barbara?
I move that we pay all the rest of the bills.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none.
I consider that a wasted opportunity. That's right, Gina. There wasn't any. Okay, this year.
Excuse me. Did you say there weren't any?
Well, that I have knowledge of that went through. Was there CDBG applications from this district?
Just $1 million. It's okay, though.
Okay.
It's $1 million.
On top of, okay, for 2006?
$1 million.
Oh, $1 million. Okay. Well, I want to reemphasize. CDBG grant funding is very important for a lot of other things in this community. And that's why I had concerns about, and my question about that, if that's going to continue, as I said before, there are a lot of other pressing issues and needs in this town. And so if we need to put together a task force to really search out and identify and to put a price tag on these particular projects, I think it needs to happen. I just don't want to see it all to go into one pot. For it to be street lights, we need street lights. There'll be other issues here in town. I just don't want to see CDBG grant fund. Just because it's popular to get CDBG funding for a particular thing that seems to move out there at San Luis County, let's wave the flag for other needs here for CDBG money. That's all I'm saying. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other comment? Very good.